Welcome to Skies Revival Radio. Many have attended the Sky Family Revival concerts and have been greatly touched by the Holy Spirit. This program was created to keep that fire alive. Today is the day to wake up from all our worldly distractions to seek first the kingdom of God. Nothing will satisfy your soul like giving Jesus first place in your life. Nothing will restore our country except for those who are called by his name to start seeking the Lord with all their might. And this is revival, that we would seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Join us today. Let revival begin with you.
Hi, this is Tom from the Sky Family. Welcome to Sky's Revival Radio. We're here again to see old-fashioned revival visit our land. Real revival is not far off. It's not a million miles away, and we can do nothing but sit and hope for it. Not at all. One of the greatest missionaries of all time was Jonathan Goforth, who was from Canada. And he instructed everyone everywhere that revival is no different than farming. If the ground is properly plowed, planted, and looked after, the farmer can and does expect a harvest. In the same way, revival can be expected if we plow up the fallow ground of our hearts and plant good seed. And there's no better plow than the old-fashioned gospel itself. The power of the gospel is not diminished. It's only been neglected. When we pull out the old book and begin to read it, it plows up our soil, and good seed is dropped in from Jesus' own lips. Not my words, not the words of any other preacher, Jesus' own words. This is the best seed. And we find when we do that, that the gospel still has the power to change lives, starting with us. It has the power to change our life. And with that, let's continue our study of that most powerful of all books, the Gospel of Matthew. Today we are going into Lesson 9. We're examining the Beatitudes, which is found in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5. Let's turn to Matthew 5, verse 8, where Jesus says, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." This verse sums up the heart of all we hope to see accomplished in our own lives and the lives of those we meet. Our goal is that we would become pure in heart. And what does it mean to be pure in heart? It means not being pure in appearance to others, but pure in truth, in reality, in our heart. When we examine ourselves carefully, we find that the disparity between the two is quite large. Most of us can put on a good show, that is, have the appearance of being a Christian or have the appearance of being pure in heart. And we're real good at it. Now, what makes having the appearance a little bit more attainable is that we only have to keep up the charade for about an hour and a half on Sunday. Phew, good thing. Thank goodness it's only Sunday, and for most of that time, we have to sit still and be silent. And so we're able to tuck everything in, put on the right appearance, put on a smile, suck it up for just about an hour and a half. But it does take a lot of effort. It reminds me of someone walking down a crowded beach, trying to hold in their flabby stomach. When they finally reach the car, they exhale, and the truth bursts forth. In the same way, many of us go to church, holding our breath, trying to have the demeanor of a Christian for the whole service. But we get out the door, and by the time we get to the car, we exhale, and the truth comes out. Our irritation bursts forth. Our comments fly about this one and that one, or about the fact that we got out a few minutes late, or about the crowd trying to get out of the parking lot, And then, of course, there's the long line at the coffee shop. This is when the truth comes out. This is where the rubber meets the road, where we have to go from being pure in appearance to being pure in heart. And that's why this is such a far-reaching word. The outward appearance means absolutely nothing to God. We can try to put on the appearance of a Christian, but the truth is revealed after church is over. It's revealed especially in our family, where we tend to let it all out, where we really exhale. In the book of Samuel, it says, "Man looks to the outward appearance, but God looks to the heart." Let's begin examining the various aspects of being pure in heart by turning over to the book of Job, chapter 31. There was a reason that God called him the most righteous man on earth. Chapter 31, verse 1 says, "I have made a covenant with my eyes. How then could I gaze at a virgin?" He was showing that he had made a commitment in his heart to have a pure eye. It was an internal righteousness, not an appearance of righteousness. So here is the test for us. All we have to do is see what we would do if we were alone, if no one was looking. What comes out when we're not being watched? If we could do anything we wanted, what would we do? Whatever that is reality. That is who we really are, and that is what God sees when he looks at us. He doesn't see us sitting in church looking very proper on the outside. God is not fooled. He doesn't even see the outside. He sees us as we really are. This example in Job is a great guidepost for us as to what we should be striving for. God is not content that we should merely avoid the acts of adultery and fornication. He will not stop short of having us have a clean eye that won't even look at someone the wrong way, even if no one else can see or notice. And that's what Job meant by saying he had made a covenant with his eyes. Jesus says we are to be pure in the thoughts of our heart. We are to be pure in heart. Our job is to first recognize that every time we look at a lustful image or think a lustful thought, we have actually sinned. Then we are to confess it and finally work hard to forsake it. But something to remember is that you're not alone. Everyone struggles with trying to keep a pure heart. Don't feel like it's only you that's struggling. And this is not meant as an excuse to let us off the hook, but is meant to encourage us that we are all sinners striving for God's purity. This gives us the courage so that we don't have to try to hide anything. So our goal is to try to be pure in heart when we're not being watched. When we start to make strides in this area, an amazing transformation takes place, and that is, we begin to see God. We begin to experience the presence of God more fully. We begin to understand him, and a friendship develops. As we become more pure in heart, we begin to see the Lord more. That's the great reward of obedience, even if we're just striving for it and haven't attained it. And that's the beauty of the Lord, that he is mindful of our frame, that we are but dust, as it says in Psalm 103. So even if we stumble a million times, he still allows us a glimpse of himself just because we desire to be pure, just because we have openly confessed our sins before God. And the transparency of saying, Lord, please forgive me and make me pure in heart. We have actually begun to be pure in heart. Just by exposing the hidden parts of our heart, we have begun real revival. And that's what I mean when I say revival is not a million miles away. Revival is as close as our lips. When we come before God and confess our sins, when we see that our eyes are constantly straying and that we're constantly being stimulated to lustful passion in all of the media around us, when we recognize it, we bring it to God and we say, Lord, I'm sorry, revival has begun in your heart. When we see it, instead of glossing over it, and we come before God and say, Lord, forgive me and help me, revival has come to your house. That's the wonder of the new covenant, that just by pure repentance and faith, we are made righteous in Christ. But if we try to maintain the appearance that we're good, we are not under the covenant of grace. Let me say that once more. But if we try to maintain the appearance that we're good, we are not under the covenant of grace. While we are trying to have the appearance of being a Christian, we have not even entered the new covenant. But when we have exposed the inward recesses of our heart and not glossed over sin, nor tried to cover over the hidden sin of our heart, but have gone to God saying, I am full of wrong desires and passions. I want you to cleanse me. Please make me a blameless, innocent child of God in the midst of a perverse generation. In that act of honesty, we actually become pure in heart. Why? Because we might not be pure in the outward person yet, but we have come before God in honesty, and he's forgiven us and covered us with his amazing grace. God is not looking at the outward, but the inward, and we have become clean before God by repentance. God's ways are so gracious to us. The act of honesty is what God is looking for. He wants to take us back to the garden where Adam and Eve first sinned and wouldn't admit their sin. He wants to take us back to repenting of our sin. And the importance of this issue cannot be overstated. To further investigate the meaning of being pure in heart, let's now look at Matthew chapter 7, where Jesus addresses the church and says, Depart from me, I never knew you. They answered him incredulously. What? What do you mean? We have done all these things in your name. But he replies that he doesn't even know them. This addresses how much we do outwardly so that people recognize us rather than to please God. And it is a huge snare in the church. Let's take a simple example that is pretty common. Let's say there is a young woman who has some ability to sing, and she's asked to sing a song. She's put on stage to lead worship or to do a special song. Everyone applauds her and congratulates her after the service, and she thinks it feels pretty good. And so then she's back doing another song, and she's trying to get back as often as possible. You see, it's a pretty heady thing to be appreciated by so many and to have so many saying, what a lovely voice you have, or how much they enjoyed the singing. But now, she's entered into a very dangerous chorus where she could end up in the category of Matthew 7. At the end of her life, the Lord could say, "Who are you?" And she'd say that she'd been in ministry her whole life and been singing for him her whole life. But it could have been with the impure motive of wanting to be recognized. And this is a very real and very difficult snare. It's very easy to fall into, and very many do. Can you imagine how displeasing our worship is when it is led by someone who is desiring and accepting the praise that only belongs to God? It can only remind us of God's word in Malachi, where he says, "Stop the noise of your singing." If we are making stars out of our worship leaders and the singers are accepting the acclamation, our worship is just noise to God, no matter how professionally it might be done. And as our church music trappings take on more and more the appearance of a stage show, it only adds to the self-glory. Now, if we truly have a heart for God and we actually want to glorify Him instead of ourselves, only the Holy Spirit can help. And it's usually against our will. He helps us to keep from flying off by clipping our wings, so that instead of praise, many times he gives his true worshipers criticism. Instead of being exalted, the true worshipers are thought ill of. If we remember the lessons of Jesus' temptations, this was the very area that was being dealt with in his heart. The idea of serving God with purity of heart is paramount. It means having a desire to serve the Lord, whether anyone recognizes us or not, whether anyone appreciates us or not. It doesn't matter if we are criticized, no matter what, we are going to serve Him because we love Him. That is a pure heart, and God will bless those efforts. So blessed are the pure in heart has two sides. One is to be pure in the thoughts of our heart, and the other is to be pure in our motives. How easy it is to fall into doing something for totally worldly motives. It reminds me of a drug company that made a generous display of giving a great quantity of drugs and a humanitarian effort to save those suffering in Africa. But someone did a careful search and found that these drugs were expired, out of date, unusable, and unsellable. In fact, they were sending appetite stimulants to those who were starving. All this was done on TV with great fanfare. Their motive was to be recognized, not to actually help the people. It's very common and very easy to fall into. Closer to home, Keith Green addressed it when he spoke to fathers, saying how easy it was to do something nice for your family, but upon close examination, find that there was some hidden selfish motive in doing it. For those who want to see God, we must allow the Holy Spirit to examine us closely, exposing the thoughts of our heart and the motives in all we do. This is true Christianity, and it's not for the faint-hearted. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we come before you today because we want to really be part of the new covenant. We want the grace of God to cover us. So instead of just carrying on with an appearance and a show, we just get real honest before you. And we open our heart and we bear it to you, Lord, to expose all the hidden motives, to expose all of the sins of the heart, the hidden sins that no one sees except for you and me. Lord, we bring these things before you, and we ask that you would forgive us and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Lord, this is your great promise to us. that if we will confess our sins, you are faithful and merciful to forgive us and to cleanse us. Lord, we want revival to visit us. We want to be revived. And I thank you that you have made the way to revival through repentance. And when we repent, revival has begun in us. Lord, may revival go out as far as this program reaches into many hearts. May revival begin now all over the place. Lord, may your Spirit cause our ground to be plowed up and good seed to be planted. May we ponder these words, O Lord, and may they spring up in our lives and bear more fruit. Lord, may your kingdom be enlarged. May righteousness be increased, and may wickedness be cleansed from our land. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Be sure to visit skiesrevivalradio.com, where you'll find many encouraging resources, including the first book of our Revival Begins With You series. It's called Through the Narrow Gate, The Surprising Door into Radiant Life, and it's available in hard copy or download. You'll also find Celtic Revival music CD and other uplifting materials there. We look forward to getting together with you again next week.
These radio programs are aired weekly throughout Northeastern U.S. and Canada, as well as all across the country on our Sky Family mailing list and on internet radio. It is a faith ministry, and they are supported only by the Sky Family and a little group of concerned Christians who contribute to the radio ministry. If you have been helped or encouraged or edified in any way, would you consider joining that small group to keep these broadcasts going out? It takes a lot of money to produce these programs and to get them out to those who can hear and be encouraged to begin the exciting adventure of personal revival. Your joining with us in this ministry would be a real blessing to many people. Because we don't deduct any kind of administration fee, every dollar you send goes directly to getting the gospel out into this dark world. So even a small donation goes a long way. If you go online and type in Skies Revival Radio, our homepage will come up. Somewhere on the page will be a donate button. If you click on that, you will find a number of ways you can join us in this important work. Or call us at 508-887-1051. That's 508-887-1051. Or email us at tourmanager@theskies.org. If you can't afford anything, don't worry. You can still join our team by standing in the gap and praying with us week by week as the broadcasts go out. It takes a lot of money and a lot of prayer to have the gospel go forth through the media. Thanks so much for your help financially and in prayer. May God bless you.
This song is from the Skies Celtic Revival CD, which is available on the Sky Family website or on iTunes.
Comes rumbling, but this
together with a firm expectancy. Let us strengthen one another to a life of purity.